The reading this morning is going to be Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 15. Then one of the 12 came, Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver.
This morning in the class we teach, or I teach in the back, our young adult, our college, teenage, college years, we got to talking about that passage that Daniel read for us. Think about it. We've been talking about commitment. We've been talking about making commitments, and we're going to start that series and continue that series today. But think about what Daniel just read for us. Judas went to them and asked, "What will you pay if I deliver?" And in class this morning, we were talking about decisions that we make. And if you think about Judas in that decision, he took it upon himself. They did not approach him. He approached them and went and said, "How much will you give me if I bring you Jesus?" That's carrying it a whole nother level. When we think about bad decisions, we think about temptation. Sometimes Satan comes to us and it knocks on our door and we have to make a decision. But Judas there made up his mind, "I'm going to go to him," or "I'm going to go to them. What is it that you will give me if I do this?" I want you to think about that for just a few minutes this morning. How many times in life do we show the passion that we need to show to God? How many times in our life do we show the passion to Jesus that we need to show to Jesus, the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, whomever it may be? How much passion do we show in our relationship with God? I asked the young people this morning in the back, I said, on a scale from 1 to 10, and I want to ask you this morning, on a scale from 1 to 10, where are you with your relationship with God? We talked about the different scales. We talked about the different numbers this morning in class, kind of what they meant, and I'm not going to re-teach that right now. But we did talk about 5 being middle of the road. In other words, maybe that we're good while we're at church. That when we come together and we worship, we come together for Bible study, we come together for Wednesday night, whatever it may be, when we come together at those points in our life, we're committed to God at that moment. But then maybe when we're not here, we're not near as committed. You know, there's a lot of things that stand or could stand between us and God. It could be our job. It could be habits. It could be hobbies. It could be addictions that we have. We could have a lot of things that we allow to come between us and God, and we have to fight those things every day because we want that commitment, we want that passion toward God, and we want that closeness to God. But y'all, at the same time that we're fighting hard to build that relationship with God and to draw closer to God each day of our life, there is an individual that's fighting that much harder against us, trying to pull us away from God, and that's Satan. You know, anything great that happens in life today comes with passion. I've been thinking about that word a lot this week as I've been preparing this lesson. And when great things happen, people have passion for it. You take an athlete, they have passion for what they're doing. An artist has passion for what they're doing. When something is created, we have, and Charlie prayed for this a few minutes ago, we have scientists and we have doctors and we have people, and I can't help but think about St. Jude. There are doctors and scientists that sit there hour after hour after hour every day trying to find a cure for cancer. And they have passion for that. It's a driving force in their life that they want to find that cure to help young people and help all people to overcome that disease. Not only when we create things, not only to become great, but to sustain something in life. You know, we get it. We've got it. We've created it. We have got to a point in our life We've got to have passion about that to continue to do it each and every day of our life. Isn't that true, really? That think back to the day, if you're here this morning, you're a Christian, think back to the day that you become a child of God, that you become a Christian. Think back to that day. Might have been a few days ago, but try to remember. Remember how you felt that day that you decided, yes, I'm going to become a Christian. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And remember that day, if you did what I'm fixing to say, if you stepped out of the aisle during a worship service and you came forward, probably you got a good chance of remembering the song. Probably remember the person that baptized you. Remember that day. But remember that feeling that you had when you obeyed the gospel. And how much love you had for God because of the commitment that you were making. I want to be a Christian. And I dare say that every one of us, that day that we obeyed the gospel, we wanted nothing more in our life than that at that particular time. We were committed to it. Nothing is going to stand between me and becoming a child of God, a Christian this day. And that's what passion is. Passion is that driving force that puts us where we want to be. But then think back to the day you obeyed the gospel. Then think to where you're at today. Has it grown? Well, I hope that it has. I hope that it has for each one of us. I hope that we can say that, yes, we're closer to God today than we was 30 years ago or 5 years ago or whenever that was. Yes, I have built that relationship. I've gotten stronger in my life. Folks, if not, we've got to develop some passion about us, some love for God that we're driving forward, trying to build that relationship each and every day of our life because it's what keeps us going, making us strive to live each day closer to God and living a better Christian life. I'm sure David Bryant was not original with him, but first time I heard it, he said it. So it's that original anyway. Talking about a commitment. Talked about a chicken contributed, but a hog was committed to breakfast. And I thought that was funny. I thought that's pretty good. Because giving an egg or giving of yourself. You know, we need to be like that hog. We need to be like that pig. We need to be committed. We're going to go all in on this, on living a Christian life. Story is told, I remember from years ago, this rug back here, let me get it situated. Years ago, I heard a story, I'll never forget it. A woman was a member of the church, a woman was a Christian, and the husband didn't have time for God, didn't have time for church, had no desire to go to worship service, had no desire to think about God at all, and they argued and fussed and fought all the time. Matter of fact, this guy drank a lot, and he did not concern himself with doing the right thing. And one Sunday morning, she gets up, getting ready to go to worship service, and they get into an argument. The argument leads to a knockdown, drag-out fight, which in turn, the man grabs a gun, points it at his wife, and says, where is it that you said that you were going? And she said, if you pull the trigger, I'm going to heaven. And if you don't, I'm going to church. I'll never forget that story because that's how we should be. That we've made that decision in our life. We made that commitment in our life. And we love God that much that no, nothing is going to stand between us and our relationship with God. Commitment. How committed are you this morning? How committed are you with your relationship with God? In the book of Matthew chapter 6, I love that chapter because it deals with worries of the world. It lets us know how important we are to God. You know, sometimes we look at ourselves and we may even think about ourselves, I'm just nothing. I'm not very important to anyone, but you are important to someone, especially to God. And that's really what Matthew chapter 6 is dealing with. And if you look at the latter part of the chapter, especially in verse 33, and verse 33 is probably a verse that you can quote. But that chapter deals with the lilies of the field and the birds and how God takes care of them and how that God knows them and how much greater we are and how he knows us and how that he's going to take care of us. But look at verse 33 there. He tells us there to do something. And in the reverse of that, if you do this, you can relieve yourself of these worries. He says, seek first what? The kingdom of God. And all these things that we're talking about, or he's been talking about in these verses, they will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that starts our commitment, our relationship with God. Becoming a Christian, you know, it's important. It's one of the biggest decisions that we'll ever make in our life, and we're dealing with that in the back. We want to be a Christian. Why? Because that starts our walk with God. But it's more than just becoming a Christian, and I'll go ahead and say it now in case there's those here that's not a Christian. Make that decision today if you can. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to repent of your sins, turn away from sin, turn away from the world and say, yes, I'm going to live a life for God. It's not going to be perfect. There's not a one of us that's perfect, especially as I said this morning. The guy that you're looking at right now is not perfect. And I'm telling the young people in the back some of the things of my life. And it's embarrassing sometimes to look back and think about some of the things I've done. I'm not proud of it, and I don't tell the young people back there for them to think that I'm proud of it. I'm ashamed of it. We're not going to be perfect people, but through the blood of Jesus, we can be forgiven of the sin that we have in our life. And that's what repentance really is, isn't it? It's turning away from saying, I'm not going to do those things. I'm making a commitment that I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to live for God each day of my life. And that's what Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. He told them to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And that's what we're going to encourage you in just a few minutes to do with your life, is to make that commitment to God and say, I want to be a Christian. But I'm afraid sometimes that too many times, especially in the church today, we preach and we preach, and I'm guilty of it. We preach and we preach to the point that we want people to be baptized, and we do because you've got to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you want to be saved, you must be baptized. I will stand there as we talk this morning in class, Hayden. That's where I'm going to stand. You've got to be baptized if you want to be saved. We can quote verse after verse after verse that points to that. But I'm afraid sometimes that we in the church, we preach that to the point, and then we give up and we quit and we go no further with it. But I'm going to tell you something. That's where the commitment begins. Because there's not a one of us in here, I think, that believes once saved, always saved. If you believe that, then we need to have a discussion. Because there are scriptures that tells us there's a certain way that we have to live once we become a Christian. And folks, when you're baptized, that's where you're starting. Don't stop there. That's kind of the springboard that gets us going in our relationship with God. That's the springboard that tells us that this is how we need to live. It's almost like an athlete, is it not? You do a lot of training. to get ready for the race. And then the day that the race began, you're trained and you're ready, and now it's time to run. It's the same way in a Christian life, is it not? That when we're baptized, when we become a Christian, now we've got to run the race. Not only do we have to run the race, we have to finish the race. And we can't quit. We've got to continue. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Have you ever wondered what you would ask Jesus if you had an opportunity? If you had an opportunity to stand before Jesus and talk to him, what would be your question? What would be your comment? What would be your response to him? How would you start that conversation? Let me ask you something else if you have that in your mind. If he told you or answered the question that you asked him, would you do it? In other words, if Jesus was here today and we asked him a question, and maybe we asked a question that we've done answered a few minutes ago, we said, Lord, we've got a question, and the question is, what have I got to do to be saved? Oh, and he looked out here, can you imagine him saying, believe that I am the Son of God. Meet my blood in obedience in baptism. Would you listen to that? But listen to what's said here. If you look at verse 33 through about verse 38, I think is where we're going to stop. There was a multitude gathered together. And a question was brought up in verse 40 or 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Listen to what Jesus tells him in verse 37. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the passion that we're talking about this morning. That Jesus says, this is how you love God. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Folks, that's commitment. That's commitment that we're going to live this way and we're going to love this way. Got asked lately, I've got two or three, I think it's three weddings to do. I don't know when some of them are. I know the date on some of them. But I've got weddings to do, and one of the things I always bring up and I always talk to a couple about before I do the marriage ceremony is, how is your relationship with God? Who comes first in your life? Is it Wendy? Or Wendy needs to be asked, is it Tim or is it God? Folks, God's got to be first. As much as you love your fiancé, as much as you think that you love them, they cannot come first. It's got to be God that comes first, because that's where the passion is that drives us to have the other relationships that we have while on this earth. The question was asked, and the answer was given. You love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Put God first in our life. And let me tell you, when you do that, our actions will follow. If you will love God with all your heart, the right actions is going to follow past that. We talked about our speech this morning in class. When you committed to God and you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, you're going to speak and say the things you should. Or at least you're not going to say the things you shouldn't. Maybe that's how I ought to word it. It's going to cut down and help control that tongue a little bit more. It's going to help you when you make choices and try to decide whether or not I'm going to drink, whether or not I'm going to do drugs, whether or not I'm going to go out and do this or that, and we know it's wrong, we know it's in the wrong relationship and our commitment to God. It helps us there. when we're committed. And it's going to help us in our homes when we seek to please God. So the first question this morning is, how committed are you to God? And then the second question, I only have two this morning as in this series, but the second question this morning, how committed are you to yourself? Are you committed to taking care of yourself? Are you committed to making sure that you take care of your soul? I know we talk about that, and I mentioned it here a while back when I had the introduction to this series of lessons. We mentioned it that day, but I want you to consider it for just a minute. Are you committed to making sure that your soul is where it needs to be? You know, I think too many times we kick the can down the road. I think too many times we justify things in our life. Too many times we think and we suppose and we expect that we're going to have another day, that we're going to have more opportunities, that we're going to have an opportunity later on in our life to come back to God. We're going to have opportunities in our life that will help change us and help mold us, help us to be the person that we need to be. But that starts today. It starts right now in each one of our lives. That today is the day of salvation. How does the song go? Tomorrow may be too late. There are certain things we don't want to just keep putting off. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, let's look at verses 36 and verse 37. Our own soul, and you've heard me say it over and over again, is most important. Verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is it that you would sell out for? The text that Daniel read for us this morning dealt with Judas. We know what his price was. He come up with it all by himself. He made up his mind, I want more money. I need money. I'm going to go see who I can sell the Lord to. And it was for 30 pieces. How much would it take for you to do that? Honestly, answer the question to yourself right now. Put yourself where Judas was at. How much would it take for you to sell out our Savior? Let me ask you this before we stand and sing. How committed are you to Him? Are you committed to growing the church, helping other people come to the kingdom, helping other people be saved? Are you committed to that? Let that be the passion. Nothing great happens without passion. We've got to be committed to it. Whether we're talking about growing this congregation, whether we're talking about your soul or my soul, whether we're talking about living faithful to God, whether we're talking about becoming a Christian, you've got to be passionate about that. So that you can change your life, so that you can become a child of God, and so you can be committed each day of your life. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we've talked about what we have to do in order to be saved. We talked about what we have to do to become a Christian. I'm sure the baptistry is ready, and I know that we can assist you today if you're not a Christian. But if you're here and you've been unfaithful to God, and you need to rededicate your life to God, you need to make changes in your life, you need to re-spark that passion that you once had. Our prayer is that you will come while we stand and sing.